If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Eclipse episode. Everything you ever wanted to know about the eclipse will be revealed. That is under the assumption that you don't care so much about the eclipse because we're not really going to talk about it. My name is Carlito.
Oh.
And this is Maria.
Okay.
There we go. Took me a minute. I didn't have that pre-planned.
Obviously. Hey.
Yeah.
I have been talking about the eclipse a lot.
I know.
But that's, I'm just going to say, it's here. It's happening. In fact, depending on when Awesome Today fam listens, that's probably already happened for them.
You remember back in the earlier days of the movement, as it were, where the catchphrase was, I'm here and I'm queer, or I'm queer and I'm here?
No, it's like, we're here, we're queer.
Yeah. That when you said, I'm here, I thought that's what you were going to lead into. I didn't know for sure.
Okay.
No judgment either way. I'm just like, is that what's happening?
I have to look this up. You keep talking though.
Okay. Well, I'll tell a thing.
It was, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
Oh, okay. So I didn't get to.
Yeah.
All right.
It was fast.
Yeah, good talk.
It was a fast one for me.
Good talk. What you got?
You were supposed to just do a little song and dance.
Well, I was going to interject.
Okay.
I think as we were children and maybe even into young adulthood, we all had a relative that would belch silently, but then they'd hiss the belched air through their teeth.
That was Grandpa Babcock for me.
Mm-hmm. I think I had more than one. I was just earlier today, as we record, I was walking through the living room and I just did it.
Spontaneous.
I wasn't planning it, any of that. And I heard myself do it and I was like, well, damn, I kind of like that. I think that might be my thing for this summer. I don't know.
Spontaneous old purple? Old people belching.
People that are purple have oxygen deprivation and they're dying. Maybe that is old people. I don't know.
This is going to be one of those days for me. I can feel it already where my words are going to get messed up.
So. I love it. Bring it on.
I hate it. And if I did edit these Awesome Today episodes, I would take that out. Just if, F to the Y.
If you edited these, we'd lose half of our listenership at least in the first week.
Right.
I think the people are here for the down and dirty.
All right. Hey. I learned something real big this past week.
Okay. Tell me about something real big.
Me and you and me.
Mm-hmm.
We were in
the and I is the proper English.
Honestly, yes, because we're going to be the subjects of this sentence. So
okay,
yes, we need to use the subjective case.
Yeah, I don't
objective case. We are going to be the objects of this sentence.
I hate to be the predicate.
We're going to be the objects.
The predicate is the sentence asked.
Can we literally start this recording over?
No.
Wait.
Hey, welcome.
No, we are the subjects.
Yeah, you and I, we were the subjects.
Objective case is when it's the object, like, of a preposition.
Of a preposition, yeah.
Or the object of the action. She pushed him. Him would be the object.
Right. You wouldn't say she pushed he, unless you're British or something. I don't know what they do.
I don't think that even the British say that.
Okay. Well, I hope not. I've always thought more highly of them than they've ever delivered behavior to deserve.
Okay. We were in the kitchen, and as we are prone to do, we put on a little music on the Spotify.
Yeah. Tore our clothes off and...
Nope.
Offended the children.
Nope. Everybody's clothes stayed on. The children were doing their own things. This was an exchange between me and you.
Yeah.
Where I learned that the song The Boys of Summer, a 1984 release from Don Henley.
Yeah.
It's not about baseball.
Well, you were thinking Sultan's a Swing.
No, I thought this one too. Yes, both of them. I thought two things. Man, we are really yelling.
Yeah, you're getting a little,
those levels.
Excited there.
We were talking, that song came on, and you said something about, but I wasn't your boy of summer or something like that. And I was like, well, because, you know, you hate baseball. You're like, what?
Okay. And because I've got a hangnail? I don't know. What are you talking about?
You literally were like, what are you talking about? My whole life since I heard that song until this past week, I thought, I never really like listened to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I barely know the lyrics right now, except I can see you. That's about the only part I know.
Yeah.
You know more of the lyrics, and therefore you know that song is in fact not even a little bit about baseball.
Not so much. I can understand though, because it was in our youth, or shortly thereafter it, that high school football players on occasion would be referred to as the Friday Night Boys.
Okay.
Because they played on Friday nights.
Thank you.
So I could see how you'd walk the Boys of Summer into, well, what do people play in the summer?
It's very much related to boyfriends past. And when I was in high school, a senior in high school, I dated a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And we were dating in the spring. And I knew that baseball season like starts in the spring. And so in my mind, through the years, this was just merely conjecture on my part. But I created a story and I believed it for myself.
That's fair. That's fine.
I started to think, well, okay, the spring is when high school.
Yeah, you got summer league baseball too.
Okay. And then the World Series is in like October. It's in the fall. So
yeah, you can't trust the pros.
I'm just saying in my mind, if the season spans across the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, going back to my grandpa Babcock,
yes,
sitting in the kitchen listening to
belch whistling
while he listened to baseball games on the radio in the kitchen.
AM radio
all summer long. I just always thought Boys of Summer must mean the baseball boys.
That's not unfair. And quite honestly, if this revelation had never occurred to you that it wasn't true, would your life have been any worse off? Maybe you should just keep on keeping on. You just keep baseballing that one if you want.
Would you like to know some things about this?
I would love to know anything
so,
that you have.
This is from genius.com. The Boys of Summer single was a huge hit. It earned numerous awards, including MTV Video of the Year in 1985. That was at a time when Video of the Year was a massive feat and accomplishment.
And there were only two musical artists at the time.
It also won the Grammy Award for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance in 1986. So this was a big Don Henley hit, and I just have to apologize to him that I never took the time to really examine the lyrics, think about what it's actually about.
Maybe you thought it was baseball because Don was knocking it out of the park.
Okay, good. There, thank you. Then, not even 48 hours later, we're watching a TikTok about some guitarists.
Yeah.
There were some guitarists.
Riffs.
That were doing
some
riffs.
Riffs. Two Fs. No T.
Yeah.
Not rafts.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Guitarist. We were watching a TikTok and there was a guitarist on there and he was playing different songs on different types of guitars. Now you got me messed up. I was going to say on different cigars. Now it's just a word salad.
We're only 8 minutes in. We should absolutely start this whole thing.
No, never.
Y'all, it's the eclipse. See, the eclipse is.
This is what our new advertisers are paying for. They were like, shh, don't change a thing.
The video made reference to Sultans of Swing. And I said with confidence, now that's about baseball.
Yeah, it's not.
And you said, no.
It's not so much.
What is the Sultans of Swing? I don't know.
You didn't look it up?
I didn't look that one up.
Well, we'll save that for next week.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil your the joy of research.
Okay. I've got some research for you for later in this very episode.
Okay. You
want me to bring that up?
Yeah. I don't even feel comfortable being in the room as we talk about this. This was horrible. Kind of. It was appalling to the person that told the story.
Yes. I hope it's become abundantly clear over time to not listen to Awesome Today with your children.
Unless your children are really advanced.
Yeah.
Or you'd like them to be.
This is one of those moments where just, you know, take care.
But this involves a child.
It does. We watched a TikTok. Is the subtitle of this podcast, is it Awesome Today, : we watched a TikTok?
Probably. But okay. Is that so different than most episodes?
I'm just saying in general, like this whole entire podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's like the subtitle for.
Yes. Okay. Awesome Today in TikToks.
Yes. Yeah. We watched one
before
together.
Before the government bans them.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, if the government bans TikTok, we will be SOL on content. It was a British woman, a very lovely, I'm presuming cultured British woman, telling a story.
Seems like it.
Yes. About how her daughter had seen her naked, and this was a pretty common thing. It seems like they're pretty open nudity kind of family.
Not celebrating it. No, just like not ashamed of it either.
Yeah,
just
bodies like are bodies. It's
people,
good.
People
it's
get
fine.
Naked to do things.
Yeah. And the daughter hadn't really commented much on it. And they go out to their vehicle. The mom's going to load the daughter, who's 3, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And with a vocabulary.
With quite the vocabulary. And she buckles her into the car seat. And as she's doing so, a neighbor walks by. Now,
they live in a neighborhood where people walk quite a bit.
Yes, mostly older people, she said. Mm-hmm. A lot of retired people walking dogs, walking themselves. I like a walk.
Yeah.
I usually drag you on walks.
It's true. Sometimes I lay down on the road and cry.
This daughter's car seat is rear facing, so she can see the man as he's walking by, but the mom can't. The mom's back is turned to the gentleman, and the 3-year-old girl yells out to the neighbor, "My mom has a hairy front bottom." And
he says exactly what you would expect, but that at the same time he'd be like, don't say that.
Well, he says, "Sorry, lovely."
Yes. Like, could you repeat that?
Yes. And then
should have just been saluted and kept right on walking.
Before the mom can just like forcibly cover her daughter's mouth with her hand to get her to not repeat it, she just belts it out again. "My mom has a hairy front bottom," in an English accent, which is much more charming and hilarious. And the mom does not turn around. She just waits for the neighbor to pass by and wants to die of mortification and embarrassment.
Well, don't be showing your hairy front bottom to your kids, I guess, is the moral of the story.
An additional part of that conversation, we're talking about the phrase hairy front bottom.
Yeah.
And I told you, and I guess we'd never really talked about this, that growing up when I was little in my family, our euphemism for the girl parts was front bottom.
I had never heard this. The TikTok was the first time I'd ever heard this.
I have a visceral hate reaction to that phrase now, though it is the one I grew up with.
It's kind of weird.
It's very weird, okay?
No offense to anybody that's like, "How dare you? I love my front bottom."
You can love your front bottom, but you don't. I mean, I guess, no judgment. We're not here to euphemism shame.
Hey, maybe we're in the dark here. Maybe front bottoms have been popular longer than we know. Wasn't it the artists Criss Cross that wore their pants backwards?
Well.
Effectively creating a front bottom?
Yes.
Maybe we're the ones that are in the dark.
I feel like we've maybe touched on this before, but Was your family of origin a family of euphemisms for body parts, or did you just call them what they were anatomically?
Well, my dad, like most men, had a solid 1,500 different names for male genitalia.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't recall. My mother was a bit more reserved about such things. And so I think more often than not, it was the scientific term.
Okay. I tend to use the scientific terms with the kids. And the twins, we've talked about the twins.
So you call your boobers, you call them mammaries?
No.
What do you call them?
I guess.
Honkers?
Oh, my God. I guess we probably do say boob in our house, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, yeah. That's like that's pseudoscience. It's semi-science.
Pseudoscience.
It's science adjacent.
But I always tell, we've talked about how the twins get very, very mortified by anything that's, first of all, bad language, but also.
Don't worry about that from today.
Okay, well, let's hear it. I'll come back to what I was saying.
So for lunch, I cooked up hamburger meat and ground pork and a little bit of bacon and some onions and seasoned heavily with Italian seasoning on that, and then mixed it with a heart unhealthy amount of mozzarella cheese, and then roasted that inside of bell pepper halves.
Yeah.
And as we were eating those, and one of the twins had picked up the bell pepper.
Oh, gosh.
And he looked at the bottom of it, and I had cut it just so that it looked like butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And he was giggling about that. And then the other twin later picked his up and was like, this feels weird holding butt cheeks, because they, one of them got a laugh, so they thought, we got to repeat it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what if they're boobs? And he immediately dropped it from like a foot and a half above his plate. He was appalled.
Like it was hot.
That he might have touched boobs. I was like, bud, you and I got to have some talking. That's actually preferred. You would rather do that? Anyway.
Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But the funny thing is that when it's time for them to take a shower and they're like, well, do I have to wash my hair? Do I have to do this or that? Or if I tell them to take a fast one, I'll just be like, you need to make sure you wash your pits, your penis, your feet. And then they get all creepy and weird. Like,
that's probably not a bad thing. They're not teenagers yet. And there'll come a time where it's going to be a problem for them to stop washing it.
Lord. It's a fact of life.
You'll definitely not want to have anything to do with shower time.
I don't have anything to do with shower time right now, just to clarify. Except for giving instructions.
Except for like, hey, anybody want to see a hairy front bottom?
Oh my gosh. This episode is cursed.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
It's cursed. I'm going to let it play for a week and then I'm going to take it down.
Oh, come on now. Neither one of us is going to run for office. It's okay.
Okay. Well, that's assured. Hey, I'm sipping on a new beverage that I...
That's your best transition is, hey. You've said like 15 hays this episode. No criticism.
I told you this episode. You're first. Normally, I don't know what you want me to do.
You're normally like, speaking of euphemism for body parts, I'm drinking tea.
Okay. Sorry that my segue, which that would not have been a good segue.
Sure it would. Teabagging is involved with body parts and things.
I would not have gone there, but I am drinking
but
tea.
But you will now. What kind of tea, might I ask?
So this is from a company called Ticino.
Ticino? Where's it from?
I don't know. Okay. I don't have that info in front of me, but this is their Mediterranean blend, which is a roasted herbal tea. So no caffeine.
Roasted?
Yeah. They roast those tea leaves to get a deeper, nuttier flavor.
Yeah.
This one, in fact, is I think it's vanilla nut flavor.
Well, so you doubled up on the nut flavors.
Apparently so. And also apparently this is a prebiotic, acid-free, caffeine-free tea.
What's the point then?
Well,
why not just drink some hot bath water and move on?
The prebiotic goodness. I am on a big tea kick.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I'm either very, very into tea or I hate it.
Well, we shut down. Here, a few weeks back, we shut down the after-dinner coffee.
We did, yes.
And so I could see how it's like you're needing to fill a void and you had tea, and then we're like, you know what? tea's good for more than just after dinner coffee replacement.
Yes. And also, there was around that same time that we stopped doing our after dinner coffee, I fixed myself a second cup of coffee in the morning. I normally have one when I wake up, and it just set my anxiety on edge.
Okay.
And I was like, I do not like this feeling.
One if by land, two if by sea, the British are coming? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're going to shun coffee and go solely to tea?
No. I still like to have that first morning cup, which you graciously, generously brew for me every morning.
I call it the poopin' cup because it's what gets all the things working.
Yes.
I actually have never called it that. I just made that up.
So anyway, I've been drinking a lot of tea, and I actually was like, you know, what else is out there besides our, you know, the Earl Grey, the Irish breakfast? Because I like a darker tea, I have found. And then I came across this Ticino, and I'm quite obsessed.
I can't think of a tea I've ever had that I was like, I'd like another cup of that.
Yeah.
There was, once upon a time, I had a tisane that was ground up rind of lime.
Oh.
And that was quite delightful.
Yes. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That was yummy. Huh. I haven't thought about that in a while. I like tea. You know what's weird about me, though, is...
A few things. Did you want me to get out my notepad and go through the things I've recorded?
As it relates to tea, I don't really like iced tea. I'm not a big iced tea drinker.
Sweet
now,
tea?
That's the thing. I really, really, really do not like sweet tea.
Okay. Sun tea.
Sun tea, yes. I do like an iced herbal tea every now and again. I have to be in the mood for it. But I love a hot cup of tea, even though the weather is quite warm.
I think this summer.
Yeah.
We've done this before, but I want to go back. I want to revisit cold brew coffee.
Yes, I agree. Let's do it.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
It's still chilly enough in the mornings here right now. I want the hot cup.
I also like kombucha.
I'm no interest in that.
That is fermented tea, of course.
Well, amongst other things.
Yeah. I love kombucha. If it wasn't so expensive, I would drink multiples of that a day.
You'd probably get some kind of weird gut illness.
Probably so. That's too much fermentation, probably.
Yeah. You have more TikTok things, yes?
I do. This one's long.
Okay.
I want to make sure everybody has a minute to buckle up.
Or unbuckle.
Or unbuckle, if you want to.
I prefer to unbuckle for stories. I might need to leap about.
Okay. Unbuckle, like take your belt off, let everything kind of relax.
Unbuckle and top button, just like after a big meal.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is actually going to be no surprise to you. We observed this TikTok together. On your FYP, we do have a habit, a ritual of sorts of watching your TikTok.
Yeah. Mine are, you never know quite for sure what's going to come about, other than we do seem to maintain a trend of interesting animals, dogs, cats, and whatnots.
You scroll so fast.
That's why my feed stays pure and
fresh.
That's
what I was going to say. It's very obvious that TikTok is constantly trying to guess what you like because you give a video approximately 1.5 seconds to decide if you're going to watch it or not.
Well, if it says sponsored on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
It's gone,
sure. That's
period.
Gone. But even like just regular TikToks, like you have no mercy.
Oh.
Merciless.
I like to think of myself as the Shark Tank of TikToks.
Okay.
The American Idol, if you will.
There we go. The American Idol. Yes. What's that one where they push the buzzer on you?
I don't know.
Is that America's Got Talent?
I think it's lazy, personally. But okay. I know what you're talking about. I just don't know the name.
Okay. Well, we were watching TikTok, and a video came up from an account called Whispered Histories. The thing about TikTok is I don't know if the account creator, Whispered Histories, made this TikTok or if they just
reposted
absolutely screen grabbed it from somebody else and posted it. But that's where we saw it, and I will link to it so that you all can enjoy this. It's a rather lengthy one, but I'm going to give you the rundown that in this video, the man who's giving this information talks about history has cycles. And every 80 years, there's a major, major change in the history of a country, a culture, those types of things. Within those 80 years, each cycle is, those 80 years are broken down into 20-year segments. Okay.
Okay.
The first segment is labeled as the high. The first part of the new cycle, at the beginning of a new cycle, you get a high. This is 20 years. And I'm going to give
you. So each 20-year period begins with a high?
No, each 80-year
period. Each 80-year, okay, starts with.
Yes.
A 20-year high.
20-year high.
Okay.
And I'm going to give examples of what this has looked like in the United States in the past 80 years. So
okay.
So just buckle up or unbuckle more.
Okay. Hang on. Let me slip these drawers down a little lower. Oh my gosh. This is, never mind.
All right. After the initial high period of 20 years, next you have a 20-year period called the awakening.
Okay.
Then the next 20 years are the unraveling. And the final 20 years are crisis. And once that crisis 20 years is complete, guess what? A new 80-year cycle begins.
Well, that's the cyclical nature of things would be the beginning is the end.
Exactly.
And the end is the beginning.
Thank you. Now, in our country, our most recent 80-year cycle kicked off with our victory in World War II.
Okay.
So we're talking United States-centric cycle here, okay? That next 20 years after the end of World War II. The boom of babies. You have an even distribution of wealth. Por ejemplo, for example, you could work at a gas station and also afford to buy a house.
Wouldn't that be grand?
Yes. This was the birth of rock and roll. We launched into space.
Supposedly.
My God. this is when we have the Ford Mustang and the Chevy Corvette. And this is just like the glory years that many of our baby boomer parents remember as being what our country was like.
I owned a Ford Mustang.
Yes, you did.
In fact, two. A 65 and a 64 and a half.
Yes. And you're now applying your new lip balm that I just got you. We'll see how it works.
My lips are crazy chapped right now.
Mine are too.
You want in on this?
Yeah, I'll just.
I could share it by kissing you. I slathered it on a little thicker than I'd intended to.
Okay.
She didn't take on that one, no, guys. Sorry. This could have been a better episode.
I'm trying to be hygienic. No, this episode's already cursed.
Oh, so I have a dirty mouth. You don't want to touch it.
What was the gum that did the dirty mouth as part of their branding?
Oh, I don't remember.
People was yelling it? At their phones right now. I have no idea.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm looking at my mind and there's
somebody,
just a blank space.
Somebody
there.
Knows and they'll post in
Somebody's
the group.
Screaming it at us in this moment. Okay. So in our country, our high period of 20 years ended with the assassination of JFK on November 22nd, 1963. Now, it's important to note that things are not perfect during this time, but there's a collective, there's actually an emphasis on conformity. Mm-hmm. There's an emphasis on, like, let's look to what's good for the masses and
right. People are looking for common ground to unite rather than not trying to conform everyone, but looking for common ground in which we might say, yeah, same team.
Yes, exactly. All right. After the assassination of JFK, we move into our awakening or passion era. This is a time starting from 1963 in the next roughly 20 years. You have Bob Dylan. You have protest rock. You have protests against the Vietnam War and the Vietnam War itself. You have the Beatles, acid. We have Stonewall and the March for Gay Rights. Star Wars, like incredible music, movies, because again, this is the awakening era. This is a time of high artistic inspiration in the awakening. It's also a time of increasing individualism. So whereas the high is more focused on the unification of the masses, the awakening brings in more individualism, more awakening to yourself, I guess you could say.
Okay.
We also that's the awakening. That ends with the second reelection of Ronald Reagan in 1984.
Every time, every 80-year cycle ends with the second.
The
second election, the reelection of Ronald Reagan.
I'm going to pinch you really hard.
Listen. I know this to be true. I've lived a while.
In this past 80 years, that's when the awakening era ended. Okay, the next one is the unraveling. Mm. This is the messy era. This is the one that formed and really shaped our childhood.
Yes.
This is the fall of the Berlin Wall and the fall of the Soviet Union, LA riots, OJ.
Simpson.
Yes.
Not just orange juice.
Yes.
OJ Simpson.
The death of Kurt Cobain, 9/11, the Columbine High School shooting. Lots of turbulence, very messy. Again, it is an unraveling. This era for our country ended with the financial crisis of 2008. You might remember that.
The Great Recession, which is when I began my career in financial services. It felt like you go by and shake somebody's hand at the front of church. What do they call that? Something line.
Receiving?
Receiving. It may be something like that. It felt like a receiving line of crotch kicks.
And you are on the receiving end.
Yes, I was just standing there like, next, next. It was, I wouldn't do that again if I could help it.
Brutal. Okay, and then finally, we had the era that we're in now. Again, that era ended in 2008. We are in the crisis era. Now, this particular TikToker didn't come up with this idea himself. Mm-hmm, this is based on a book that was actually written and published during the unraveling era. So this was all I think it was published in 1997.
Oh, wow.
Predicting what would happen as we moved into the crisis era. So again, in our crisis era, currently we've had financial crisis, growing political division. We had the COVID-19 pandemic. We have cost of living hikes. So roughly 2028, we might see this crisis period come to an end to launch into a whole entire new era of 80 years. Now, if you think about it, 80 years back.
So the final crisis is the end of the next presidential cycle. Will somebody be assassinated? There can't be a re-election unless there's some candidate we don't know about yet that's going to win.
That's true. But if you think about it, the end of the crisis period that launched the most recent 80 years, had the Great Depression and World War II. If you go 80 years back from that, the American Civil War. If you go 80 years back from that, the American Revolution. So it is notably the past three cycles, 80-year cycles that have ended with war.
Interesting. Now, and before anybody gets upset thinking about that, this is actually, I think about this only second to the Holy Roman Empire. the face of war has changed.
Yes.
Some people would argue that change began at the end of World War II. Some people would say, no, it was really on the heels of Vietnam that war changed.
Yeah.
And while there are still deployments, and none of this by any means is disrespect of anybody who's served or any of that, I think anybody who has served would have looked around during deployment and said, this kind of seems like some bullshit.
Yeah.
As they occupied an area and watched McDonald's and other fast food chains all of a sudden fill up the area, or they watched different American oil companies gaining ground in a place where they hadn't previously been able to go. Not to be too conspiratorial about that, but I think the face of war has changed. The real wars, the troops on the ground is a distraction, I think, from the real wars. I think the real wars are financial.
Okay.
I think they're related to trade. They're related to currency manipulations, inflation manipulation, so that government bonds are paid back with dollars that are worth less than all that. I don't know. That's a whole thing, but I just wanted to interject that because if, in fact, this 80-year cycle ends in a war, it may not be historically what we would have viewed as war.
Absolutely.
And I think that is what's going on right now. I'm a currency trader, and I've seen some shit, man.
I think that it will be something drastic, though. I don't think it's going to be subtle.
Also, over time, every drastic event seems to become faster and faster in terms of it hits its
yeah,
massive and overwhelming, but then the remedy is very shortly on the heels of it, increasingly faster each time.
Yes, that's true. If you look at post-Civil War Reconstruction era, that really, that took a while to have any kind of prosperity for most people.
Right.
Coming through that. But then if you look at the baby boomer or the, you know, the boom after World War II is much faster than, you know, and that's just talking about in terms of economics, but, you know, also culturally, it took a long time after, you know, post-Civil War Reconstruction for civil rights to happen.
The financial crisis of 2008 was second only in magnitude to the Great Depression. And while there are certainly individuals who would say, oh, it took quite a while for them personally to recover, just as a whole,
yeah,
it was pretty dang fast.
Yeah. Well, just will be interesting. I'm, you guys know me. I'm not a big doomsdayer, like negative Nelly. I'm not saying this because I'm like, oh, something terrible's on the horizon in the next 4 years. I'm just saying,
trying to keep it awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, I think it is kind of awesome if you look at these cycles to be able to say, okay, that totally matches. That totally jives. It makes sense that these 20-year periods really do reflect this pattern that we see happening over and over. So, again, I will link to the TikTok in the show notes, along with the book that this theory is based on. I think it's called The Turning of History, if I remember correctly. So if you guys are interested, you can go check it out a little further.
I have a possible connection. And I want to ask you questions because you know about this too.
Okay.
So we have, with your recent-ish interest in astrology, we look at the changing of eras.
Yes.
Now that's a lot longer. That's 23,600 years or something like that. I can't remember. And it's a loose figure.
Yeah.
But so we're in, arguably still in Pisces and moving into Aquarius, right?
Yes.
When you start talking about huge time frames, the edges of that
get blurry.
A little fuzzy.
Yes.
But we went through kind of a spiritual awakening in Pisces, if you will. And then over time, I don't know, it looks like over time with things religious that humans came in and saw opportunities to exploit and to gain control. And then as we build towards the end of an era, it's like fatigue with establishment, finally.
Yes.
And I just, the whole time you were talking through these four phases of the 80-year cycle, I was like, yeah, and we live in a fractal universe, and it seems like that's the same thing at a higher time frame.
Right. That's not, I don't know that you have a question for me, except that I do agree with that.
Well, expound more if you have more details about how you have viewed the progression of the era.
Okay.
If you haven't, be like, how dare you question me?
How dare? How very dare? I haven't said that in a while.
Not since yesterday. When I showed you my hairy front bottom.
Oh, Lord. Well, we do know that we're moving to in through the end of the age of Pisces, a time when for the past, let's just roughly say 2,000 years, it's been more of a bigger focus on faith in the
This is a 20,000 year.
No, 2,000.
I thought it was 20,000 year period for the cycle.
No, it's 2,000.
Is it?
For the ages.
Well, I'm a complete buffoon.
No, you're not.
Well, at least a partial buffoon.
Comment
a lovable buffoon.
Let's dial it down and dial it back. Okay. You're not a buffoon at any level.
Okay.
But yeah, this was, like you said, it's a spiritual awakening. It's Pisces. It's the fish. It's, you know, those types of things. But then also that's the, it's the institution. It's something outside of yourself where the emphasis is. I feel like you're not tracking.
I'm listening. I'm focusing. That's why I'm squinting, because it's hard to see when I'm listening.
Okay, well, then we move into the age of Aquarius.
That's
which,
why we turn the radio off in the car when we're trying to find the the final destination.
I have to. Age of Aquarius is more about discovering God on an individual level, about a connection within, about understanding that religion isn't the only pathway to spiritual awakening.
Okay.
I'm trying to put this delicately.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to piss off all the churchies.
My parents used to say, my parents, when there was someone annoying or someone misbehaving in my family when we were growing up, my parents used to say that we were going to piss off the Pope.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you said
that's good.
That. But yeah, I think that you probably could look at the past ages of human history and be able to find these correlations between, like, you know, like this sort of rising time, mm-hmm. and then the downhill.
Bless you.
Deterioration. I mean, there's no edits. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good. Dead air.
We love a dead air.
Where are we in the notes?
We're down here. I need to talk about this.
Okay.
Started watching a show that I've heard people say is a great show for a while. I don't even know when it came out. It's Poker Face. It's on Peacock. And it stars Natasha Lyonne.
Who has the best constant smoker's voice of the current acting era.
You know, I was watching a TikTok about this last night. Her voice didn't always sound that raspy. It actually changed after
when she started smoking.
No, when she stopped smoking.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Interesting.
It's the exact opposite of what you would think. But I'm obsessed with Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah.
Because of this show.
Well, I mean, you probably started being obsessed with Orange is the New Black or some other
thing. Well, that's where I didn't realize she's been acting for a long time and had many.
You thought she was brand new?
I honestly thought Orange is the New Black was like her breakout role, but she's been in this business for a long time. Let me give everybody a little context for this show if they don't know.
Okay.
The idea, the concept for Poker Face is that Natasha Lyonne's character, I can't. What's her name?
You got me. I can only remember either the character name or the actual actress's name. And since I know her name in real life, it's like, that's just her.
Okay. Well, the concept is that she has this sort of supernatural ability. It's not like overtly supernatural.
Right. Not like Charlie Walken in the whatever. Charlie, yeah.
Her name's Charlie. Charlie Kale. And it's not like... Yeah, what's that movie? Where he can touch somebody and knows.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Nor can I remember his character's name because I know he's Christopher Walken.
I've never seen the movie, only the Saturday Night Live skit, which was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a theme. We kind of like the shorter versions of things. TikToks, Saturday Night Live skits.
Very short attention spans. Yeah. Charlie Kale has this gift where she can tell if somebody's lying. Now, mm-hmm. she doesn't always know the truth, but she can tell just by looking at someone as they're speaking if they are lying or not. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the sort of like jumping off point in the series.
And then everywhere she goes, there's some real bullshit going on.
Yes. And it's usually murder. It's like a murder of the week kind of series.
Yes.
And she takes on this very Columbo-like
yep.
approach. She's not a detective. She's not law enforcement at all. She's just kind of...
In fact, she's hiding from law enforcement a little
bit. Hiding from law enforcement. She goes into hiding after the first episode, or on the run, I guess I should say. But she takes this very Columbo approach where she just kind of like goes, you know, I couldn't help but notice. And, you know, just it's very, I feel like very much.
Non-confrontational.
Yes, non-confrontational, very much inspired by the Peter Falk Columbo character.
Is it Falk or Faulkner? I can't ever remember.
Falk, Peter Falk.
Okay.
And so she ultimately ends up solving the murder in each case. We're only a few episodes in.
It'd help if I could stay awake.
Yeah,
it would. We've shifted roles. It used to be you that couldn't stay awake for shows. No. Now I'm just like, the TV's on, I'm asleep.
And now I'm trying to recap episodes for you, and I don't do nearly as good of a job.
Well, you haven't had as much practice yet.
It's true. Anyway, I'm obsessed with Natasha
Lyonne. The end of an era? The beginning of a new one?
It is, yes. It's the turning of history.
The age of sleepiness for me?
Yes.
The awakening for you?
There's one thing about her besides her raspy voice that I am...
Wait, say that again?
There's one thing about Natasha Lyonne besides her raspy voice.
Okay, I thought you said something herbicides.
And herbicides.
Raspy voice.
And organic fruits and vegetables.
Well, don't... They can't have herbicides.
No. Besides her voice, I am fixated on what lip color she is wearing.
Okay.
It looks so amazing on her. I've been doing a Google Reddit deep dive to try to figure out what is that lip. I need to know.
Okay. You guys have a little bit of a similar complexion.
That's why I need to know.
I could see why this would feel desperate.
Yes, exactly.
Well, maybe just join our old fan club and shoot out an email. Dear Natasha, I know you're busy, but if you could.
Someone said in the Reddit thread discussing this that she answers people on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know.
Well, join up or borrow your brother's account or something. That won't be weird.
Okay, so last night at 9:30, I walked into our Target that closes at 10.
Oh, man. Pressure. 30 minutes?
Yeah. And I don't like to go in a store at closing, even though there was tons of people in there. I was by far not the only person in Target at 9:30.
Freaks come out.
Well, especially in a college town. There was just a ton of people in there. So I saw on this Reddit thread, one person suggested the... You're not going to care about this at all.
Oh, I do.
The NYX... NYX, NYX is a drugstore brand that they have a liner in the shade Ever that would probably get me close to this color. The color is, the best way I can describe it, is a blend between a brick red and a berry red. It's not all the way brick and it's not all the way berry. It's somewhere in the middle of that.
Is it like Captain Crunch berries?
Yeah, except it doesn't cut up the roof of your mouth.
Well, I mean, nice. Did you try putting the lipstick in your mouth? How can you know that?
No, I didn't try it. Our local Target had almost every shade of NYX liner except for Ever.
Yeah,
so well, that was a best.
Maybe it's super popular.
Apparently it is. Probably because of this show. I don't know. I got a different lip product that I thought was going to be a compatible shade, and I put it on today, and immediately I was like, no, I hate this.
Yeah, you hated it. You had the Brillo pad out scrubbing your lips.
I did. Like, that's why my lips are messed up.
Yeah.
Just kidding, guys. Don't put Brillo on your lips. But hey, pro tip, if you've been listening this long in this very cursed episode, here's a little life pro tip for you. You can take your opened and used beauty products back to Target.
What if they're like... mostly used.
Well, that's what I don't know, because...
Do they measure it? Like, when you brought it back, did they open it up?
No.
Like, you're past the whatever.
They did not. They just asked. They said, I just need to know, are these used? It won't affect your return, but I just, you know, need to know. I'm sure that they put the unopened ones back out on stock. But the opened
ones... The opened ones are the ones they put in the bin in the middle of the aisle. A hot sale bin.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I used these because I also got an eyeliner that I ended up not liking. I took those back. So you can take your opened and used products. I don't know how much. If you tried to take back a shampoo bottle that had like 2 tablespoons left in it, would they take it back? I don't know. Oh,
what if it smelled funny? Would they even take it then?
I doubt it.
I've heard some stories about shampoo bottles in emergency room visits and stuff.
Lord.
In fact, you were the one that told me about it. I believe it was another awesome who works in an ER that told you, maybe?
Yes. CVS also, you can take back.
Okay.
Sephora and Ulta, you can take things back. other places you'll have to do your own research. But yes, you can basically buy something, try it, and if it doesn't work for you, take that stuff back.
What percentage of people do you think take things back?
Well, I think it's a small percentage, and I think that's why they can have such a generous return policy.
Well, but are they really all that generous? Or is it however many people are bringing things back that's priced into the costs
that
everybody's paying for that? It's not actually like, oh, look, they gave me a refund. No, they charged you for everybody else's refund when you kept it.
Yeah. I think you're right. It is absolutely priced in. And in that sense, you've already paid for your own return.
That's true. So if you lived in a metropolitan area and your scruples were low, would you just every week go to a different Target or a different wherever and buy and wear and then like, I'm returning this and just make your cycles through the different stores and have free makeup for life?
I mean, theoretically, you could.
I'm going to start wearing makeup so I can do that.
I do wonder,
or at least eating lipstick to see if it cuts my mouth up like the Captain Crunchberries.
Most of these stores do track you with your customer number now. Like,
what if you paid cash?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You would need to probably go to just all cash.
Yeah, but this, I mean, that's no big whoop.
Okay, do it.
I'm going to. I already did.
The other store that famously has a very, very generous return policy is Costco. Supposedly, you can take things back that are very well just like used, worn out, whatever, and just be like, you know what? I actually wasn't happy with this. And they give you your money back. I've never taken a used thing back to Costco, so I don't know.
When I was a small child in high school, it became very popular in the backwoods community that I grew up in to have a CB radio in your vehicle, but nobody had any money. And somebody figured out that the exact CB radio that everybody wanted, that was pretty cool as those things go, that it was about the same price as a TI-82 calculator.
Oh, yes.
And that you could go in to your little small town's Walmart and steal a TI-82 and then go to a neighboring town's Walmart and exchange it for the CB radio.
Yep.
And it got pretty, there were a couple of idiots in there that thought they'd make a business model out of that too.
I was going to say, ran the scam too many times.
And I knew personally one of the guys that did in fact get arrested. Now, ultimately, nothing came of it. They didn't have prosecutable proof, but
it certainly
shut down his little entrepreneurial enterprise.
Yeah. In most places that do have these generous return policies do have a receipt system where you have to be able to show proof of purchase to avoid that very thing.
Well, back in that era, you could, this was Walmart's policy, was that if you didn't have a receipt, you just couldn't get cash.
Exactly.
You'd have to exchange it for equal value goods, which is why
the
matchup of price to CB radio is a big deal.
Yes, yes. Well, that was a little side tangent. I hope it brings goodness to your life. I'm still on the quest. I bought a different shade. This is MAC lipstick in the shade Chili. I think this is too brick, the one I'm wearing right now. I don't think it has enough berry.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. But
I'm so glad this isn't a thing that plagues me. I have so many other things that I'm concerned about. If I also had to fight for the right lippy, I don't know that I'd have the strength to go on.
And yet it is finding this exact lippy that she wears that gives me the inspiration.
Okay. I could
to forge ahead. I'm going to find it. Even if I have to get on Twitter and ask her.
Is it forging ahead or foraging ahead?
It's forge ahead.
Is
Why
it?
Would you forage ahead?
I don't know. I've never known the answer to this, and so I always just say it really fast if I'm going to use that turn of phrase.
Okay.
Because I don't properly know. I could see a rough justification for either one.
It's, I will tell you with confidence, it's forge ahead.
Okay. So you got a hot piece of metal and you're beating the shit out of it with a hammer.
Thank
and you.
You
got big muscular arms, or at least one, because most people aren't double arm hammerers. They just got the one hammer arm.
Yes. Precisely. You got it. You got the word picture behind the phrase.
Okay. Well, foraging is like finding your way through the wilderness to get to the food and the things, isn't it?
It's a little more gentle and not as aggressive as what you were doing.
That depends. If you were trying to get some berries and there's a bear in the berry patch and
that's
then the forging's not so gentle.
Yeah, it's forging.
Are you forging aggressively for the lipstick, or is it more of a, hey, you know, I'll eat this berry, I'll eat this piece of lemongrass.
Well, you know, you make a good point, because in this very, very specific case, I will be foraging lipsticks in a sense until I can find
the shade. And that's mainly speaking to the ones that you put in your pocket and don't pay for, you thief.
I would literally
just
never.
Just gently knock one in. Whoops, did I? Oh, I didn't. I think my toddler put that in my pocket. I'm sorry.
I've told this story before. When I was five, six years old, maybe younger, I stole a grape from the grocery store. And my mother told me it made Jesus cry, and that put me off stealing forever. I'm just, that's one thing I'm not tempted by.
Well,
so there's that.
Never hurts to circle back and try a thing once. Just don't get caught.
Good to do that.
I don't advocate that for anyone.
Okay, that's all I have. Literally, I'm done. That was a lot of words for me.
The story of stealing discouragement that I heard growing up was always the redemption story. It was somebody who'd stolen a bunch of stuff, and then later in life they felt guilty and went and just like gave cash to the store, and they're like, we don't know what to do with this. And
yeah,
that whole weird thing.
Yes.
So yeah. Good times. Good times.
Good times aplenty.
Stealing lipstick, wearing, era-changing, cyclical behaviors of the world and stuff.
Solar eclipse out, yeah.
Solar eclipses. I hope everybody feels fulfilled in all the knowledge of the solar eclipse that's been delivered in this episode. There's a lot of research and work that went into the complete unveiling of the mysteries of the eclipse. And travel tips for how to get to, where is it? Is it Ennis, Texas? Where is it that everybody's freaking out to get to?
Well, I mean, the DFW area is in the totality path. I don't know why Ennis particularly.
Well, I think it's ground zero for totality, maybe.
Really?
I think so. I don't know.
Both of my sisters live in the Metroplex in DFW, and they are equal parts excited, but also dreading the traffic nightmare that this is going to create.
Yeah. And it's not like the DFW area had decent traffic to begin with.
Well, compared to Austin, it does.
I don't know. I've never had a car accident in Austin. I have in the DFW area.
You did?
In Dallas, yeah.
On a major road?
Yeah. It's like a 6-lane wide highway thing. And
why am I not remembering this?
It was the first time they made me. One of the coaches on our staff had left, and so somebody had to go pick up his recruiting area. And so I go over there, and literally my first day there, it's like 7:15 in the morning, and we're bumper to bumper, 6 lanes across, and I end up rear-ending somebody, and then somebody else rear-ends me, and we all get out and look at it and say, ah, it's good, and then we all left.
Okay.
It wasn't high speed or anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I got T-boned by a semi-truck, and it was a gas tanker and flaming inferno or anything like
that. I think I would remember that. I do remember you actually got T-boned.
Yeah, because you would have had a funeral and stuff to deal with.
I do remember that you got T-boned in San Marcos, but it wasn't. Yeah. There was no flaming inferno.
No.
It was a little more gentle of a collision.
There was a lot of antifreeze that leaked out of the front of that guy's car after he smashed my door in. But yeah, that's not fire. It's different.
Yeah. Opposite of fire.
It's true. It's almost like ice, except it's anti-ice. It's anti-freezing.
Weird.
It's a conundrum.
Yes.
We've rambled long enough. We should let the good people go. Have a freaking awesome eclipse, would you?
Please do.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.